This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, brothers and sisters in Islam. My name is Jamal Deen Omar. I want to welcome you to this lecture about why don't you fear Allah? Now, many times, fear is, in the English language, it is translated into the Arabic as taqwa. Now, unfortunately, this is a very bad translation because we fear lots of things. We may fear our parents, we may fear our teachers, we may fear policemen, we may fear politicians, we may fear lots of different people. Unfortunately, that's not going to stop us from doing bad things. Now, I like the definition of taqwa as a high state of heart, which keeps one conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His presence, His knowledge, and it motivates him or her to do the right things and to avoid what is forbidden. This is God consciousness, always being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, taqwa is that you act in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you hope in His mercy upon a light from Him. And taqwa is leaving an act of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of fear of Him upon light. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the living, and the one that doesn't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the dead. Now, this has a big analogy to us as human beings, because we have to be the dhakirun. We have to be those that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, and we have to make a relationship with our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shouldn't we respect the first, the last, the compassionate, the merciful, the giver of peace, the giver of protection, the mighty, the creator, the one who gives life and death, the forgiver, the sustainer, and the provider, the all-knowing, the exalter, the giver of honor, and the giver of dishonor, the all-hearing, the all-seeing, the just, the great, most high, the protector, the most loving, wise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who would we be without Him? What would we do? We wouldn't even be created. We would have no purpose, no existence. Why should we not love Him? Why should we not respect Him? Why should we not follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is us that needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no need of us. But sometimes we become weak. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes shaitan, he does the work that he is designed to do. Now, I do a lot of work with a lot of the kids in teaching them the seerah and teaching them Islamic studies. And there's one sahaba that is the exemplary example of taqwa. This is Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anha. Now, one day, Umar bin Khattab, he wrote to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, the commander of the Muslim armies during their campaign against the Persians. And he commanded the soldiers to observe taqwa, which is the best preparation against the enemy and the strongest weapon of war. And he said to him, I command you and your soldiers to be on guard more against your sins and fear your sins more than you fear the enemy. Indeed, Muslims only triumph by the sinning of their enemies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for otherwise we would have no strength and advantage over them. Our numbers are not like their numbers, and our strength is not like them, and our preparation is not like their preparation. If we equal them in sin, they will prevail over us. Their physical strength is greater than ours. If we cannot defeat them through our piety, then we shall never defeat them with our strength. MashaAllah, a very powerful statement about our sins. Today, we are going through a phase where we are Muslims. We say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I bear witness there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger. May Allah have peace upon him and all who follow their path to the Day of Judgment. We say this, we claim this with our tongues, but some of us, we fall short in our actions. So, we need to look at ourselves. We need to take account of ourselves. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anha one time famously said, he said, you need to take account before you're taken account. And that's where we're heading. We're all going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example of Umar bin Khattab is one day, while he was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he went to go visit Abu Huraira, radiallahu anha. And he came to him and he asked Abu Huraira, he said, "What is taqwa?" Now, Omar was, he knew the answer, but he wanted to test him to see if he knew. So Abu Huraira, he said, "Yeah, Amir al-Mu'minin, didn't you just pass by some branches that had a lot of thorns on it?" He said, "Yes, I did." He said, "What did you do?" He said, "I picked up my robe, so I was very careful." He said, "That is taqwa." And that's what we're dealing with today. We're dealing with an environment today that taqwa and being prepared and guarding yourselves against the evils that are in our societies is very important. Now, I wanted to share some parts from my own personal stories, because we could sit here and talk hadiths, we can talk Quran, we can talk all of these things every day, but to relate this into today. So let's first look at the environment. Today we are dealing, especially here in the West, with a very, very hostile environment towards Islam. Now this environment will make two different types of people. One, it'll make the people of taqwa. Number two, it's going to make the people of sin. Those are the only two people, and then there's going to be people that are in between these. Now, this environment is not just bad for the Muslims, but it is also bad for the non-Muslims. We see many of their children going astray. We see them drinking alcohol. We see them committing crimes, smoking marijuana, doing drugs, doing these sort of things, and they go down into the gutter. They go into the prisons. I do a lot of work with the prison system, especially with the Muslims and the non-Muslims alike, talking about this relationship between their creator and how this environment is designed to make you fail. They're gambling. They're betting that you're going to fail in this matter. And this is the most important matter, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we do have this environment, but when good Muslims, ones that have taqwa, when it's inside their heart, when they look at these things, when they get thrown at them, when they see this, they see a light, right? And so we have to do this. We have to look at our environment. And when something comes to us like this, we have to persevere. We have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to look at our sins and be afraid of our sins more than anything. The next one I want to talk about is our schools. Now, on a daily basis, I'm going to our public school system because at my education, I'm a teacher. I teach English and I also teach in Islamic studies. And I'm a natural teacher. This is what I do. And so when I go visit our Muslim children inside of the schools, I see a lot of the problems that they are facing. Some of it has to do with the environment, but a lot of it has to do with there are things that are damaging to their Islam. For example, every single child must read books. This is part of the schooling process. We need to learn how to read and write. So these kids, they start to read books from the time that they're little. And they start to read books that have a lot of shirk in them, a lot of disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a lot of stuff that revolves around magic, a lot of things that revolve around make-believe, which these things, in small moderation, can be okay if you have strong deen. But if you're a young child, this can damage how you are brought up. And you may be apt to follow down the path of shaitan. And so we do a lot of work. I'm trying to work with some authors right now, Muslim authors, to try to create nonfiction books for Muslim children that are beneficial to them so they can get the exposure to the language and so they can learn how to read. Now, after you get out of school, of course, you're going to go to another school. You're going to go to a higher education. It's called college. Many of my brothers and sisters, they're in college. Mashallah, keep up the good work. But this is where I see a lot of our brothers and sisters getting led astray. The first one, maybe before they're at the home and they're in the safety of their household, and so they're always being reminded by their parents to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they may be reminded by their friends and their family, but when they go away to college and then, shaitan starts doing the work he knows how to do. Soon, maybe a sister will be there wearing full hijab. By the end of her sophomore year, she's no longer in hijab and she's in tight pants. SubhanAllah. May Allah Ta'ala guide them. May Allah Ta'ala give us mercy. May Allah Ta'ala give us taqwa. Give us remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if the parents have been doing their job and instilling why they should be wearing hijab, why they should have taqwa, why they should always be the dhakirun, why they should always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this child would have made the correct decisions when she got on her own. Now, I don't mean to pick on the sisters, because the brothers, subhanAllah, you're even worse sometimes. And I have to be honest. Some of the brothers, when they go into the college and that, they're hanging out with the non-Muslim women, they're going to parties, they're doing things, and you'll see them at the masjid sometimes. So we have to remind one another, because these actions can be very damaging to our deen. And I've been in situations myself dealing with college. I'll be in a classroom where they'll ask you to work in group work. And so you'll go in there and there'll be a group of maybe two boys and two girls. And you go there and you work on a paper together, and the non-Muslim girls will be wearing very inappropriate clothing. Now, a person that has taqwa, when they get put into a situation like this, they start to sweat. They start to feel uncomfortable. And then they want to run away as fast as they can get out of there. And so you will leave. And this is what I've done through my schooling, and this is what I recommend to a lot of the brothers that are in this situation that they do. Now, after college, of course, you're going to go to the next step, which is you're going to work and you're going to provide for a family. Now, work can be a very, very trying environment, especially in the West, because they're not used to separating of the sexes. In working jobs and stuff, you'll have men and women that mix freely together, and this can cause a lot of problems. I remember one time I was working at a job, and I was working with a lot of the other Muslim brothers and sisters that were working there, and it was a factory. And we put together optical lenses and stuff for the glasses that you wear on your head. And it was a very good job. We enjoyed working there until it came to the summertime. When it came to the summertime, I remember the first day that it was warm. And I used to, you know, have the Quran in my ear. They allowed us to have earphones. So for 8 hours a day, I was listening to the Quran. And I was reciting the Quran and reading dua all day long. This was how I spent my 8 hours a day, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then one day it became warm. The trees, they started to grow, put the leaves back on. The grass started to come up. And the smell of springtime was in the air. And so all of a sudden, the non-Muslim men and women started to declothe, started to wear less clothes to work. And so I was listening to the Quran 8 hours a day. And then there was something that was put in my way that was making listening to that Quran worth nothing. And so I had to make a decision. So I made a decision. I went to my boss and I said, listen, don't you have a dress code policy? And they said, of course we have a dress code policy, but we don't really enforce it. We allow the employees to do that. I said, well, if you allow your employees to do that, then I'm going to have to look for other employment. I apologize. And they said, they looked at me like I just jumped off of a boat, or maybe out of a spaceship, an alien, and landed on the planet. Because this shocked them, because no one had ever came and talked to them like this before. Now, I walked away from that job, and I made dua, and I said, Allah, give me a new job that is better than this, one that is better for my deen and better for my eyes, so I can protect myself. So many of the Muslim brothers and sisters said, why did you leave your job? And I said, listen, I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has never abandoned me. He will never abandon you when you trust Him. Within one week, I had a new job where only men worked, where I was driving a forklift. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. Allah will reward you if you do these sort of things. Now, the essence of taqwa is to actually make a shield which guards against Allah's anger and His punishment. That shield is to obey His commandments and to abstain from His punishment. So we all need this steel. We all need this shield. We all need the protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because every single one of us is going to return back to our Lord. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah make us among those and be among those that we love, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those that remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there are some benefits from taqwa, so I'll just talk about a few benefits of taqwa. Now, taqwa means by which a believer performs righteous deeds, and taqwa causes these righteous deeds to be accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, taqwa also makes one deserving of Allah's love. Who wouldn't want it to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He is al-wadud, the most loving. Now, taqwa also causes our sins to be forgiven and increases in reward. In fact, it'll actually take the sins away from you and actually turn them into barakah, into reward. And so this is very important. Taqwa keeps one steadfast on the straight path and protects him from deviation. And actually, taqwa will actually cause you to understand what is true and what is false. So you'll be able to make decisions in your life. Allah is going to give this to you as a gift. So you'll be able to see what is false, what is true. And you'll be able to make decisions as a human being that are right for you, that will lead you to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we all want to be a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one was a better friend than Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. In fact, he is known as Khalil Allah, the friend of Allah. So how can we become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 34, he says, verily, his close friends, his awliya, are only those with taqwa, but most of them do not realize it. It is this taqwa. It is us leaving what Allah has forbidden and taking what he has commanded and accepting it. This is the true mu'minin. Thus, taqwa is the fruit of ibadah, worship, and can only be achieved by performing acts of ibadah. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, there is no better way in which my servant comes close to me, except by the things I have made obligatory upon him. And my servant who does optional actions, like your sunnah prayers, and my servants who do these optional prayers keep on coming towards me until I love him. And if I love him, I become his hearing by which he hears, his sight by which he sees, his hands by which he grasps with, and his feet by which he walks with. And if he asks of me, indeed, I will grant him. And if he seeks protection from me, I will indeed protect him. Now, this is a friendship that every single one of us needs. And I tell my brothers and my sister, and first I tell myself, that even if you're doing something wrong, don't despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't give up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing you can do that will take away from the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is waiting for you to turn back to him. And he's waiting to forgive you. Just ask him. It's very simple. And I advise you and myself with taqwa, a fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, who knows your secrets and he sees your open actions. So remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every time of the day, every night. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to his nearness and the power he has over you. And know that he always sees you. And do not leave his rule for another rule, nor his dominion for another dominion. So glorify him by fearing him immensely. And not only fearing him, come closer to him. Nothing you can do, nothing, no sin that you can do is too great. He will forgive you. There's a famous hadith that talks about a man that killed 99 men. All of us, we know it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the circumference of the earth to forgive one man, who are you? Turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look for the beauty in your deen. You know, many times, a lot of Muslims, they'll ask me, they said, you came to Islam and you left all of this behind. And so they look at a lot of the stories that we have to tell about inspiration. We left jahiliyyah. We left ignorance because we saw that it was going to lead to destruction. And then we saw that the true message of Islam was coming out from the Quran and the Sunnah. And so we submitted our whole entire self to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not give up on me. Hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in times when it gets tough. Even in times when it looks like there's no hope. Allah will never abandon you because of one reason. Because you say, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. May Allah Ta'ala reward us. May Allah Ta'ala guide us. May Allah Ta'ala open our eyes to the beauty of Islam. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, if we are doing sin, remove the shaitan that has been assigned to us and kick him out of our lives so we can turn back to the Quran and the Sunnah. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us guidance, give us hidayah, give us love, give us mercy, and give us the knowledge, the hikmah, to understand the beauty of this religion. Because this is the only religion of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It is the same religion of Adam, the same religion of Moses, the same religion of Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him. They all came with the same message. And some of my Muslim brothers and sisters, we see you, especially as reverts, we see you trying to imitate non-Muslims who are from the misguidance. And we're asking you, come back. Come back to this, because we left that. I use this example a lot of the times, and I say, my message is this. It's like I'm leaving a burning building that's on fire. I see it's burning, and I get out. And then I tell my brothers and sisters, listen, don't go to that building. It's burning. And then some of you want to say to me, listen, I want to look and see if it's burning. Well, you might get burnt. But if you do get burnt, make sure you wash yourself off, pick yourself up, and get back to doing the work that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you for. Jazakallahu khairan, barakallahu fiqh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.